You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Several months ago, we were instructed to sanctify first Sunday evenings for healing and deliverance. And in keeping with that particular directive, I'm going to ask everyone in here that is clinically sick, physically sick, to raise your hand. If there is anything going on in your physical body, okay, raise it up high. All right, God bless you. That's pretty much 50% of our congregation tonight. Are there any here that are mentally sick? Now, that's going to take a little bit of guts. Because Westerners, one thing I learned, there are really three classes of humans that are almost impervious to any type of psychotherapy. One is those of German descent. The second is those of Irish descent. And the third are African Americans. They do not, those three groups often resist any type of therapy. I would like to make a fourth group and call them Christians. Christians will hold on to mental illness and demonize it when really it's just another illness. Everything is not the devil. Many people suffer from mental illness because they don't get enough sleep. You are programmed for anywhere from 6 to 8 hours of sleep, and God fixes it so the nighttime, Ray Charles said it's the right time, but it's programmed, you're programmed for your brain and all of those parts of that, I call it your sleep agency, to release melatonin and serotonin at night. God fixes it so that you can sort of go off. Now, if you notice, the enemy comes and he makes your nights more lively. Now, think about the scripture. Some of you don't sleep till 1, 2 o'clock in the morning. That's improper. The Bible teaches you should go to bed early and get up early. That's what the Bible teaches. Now, I'm not saying you're going to hell for doing it, but if you keep doing it, it's hell on your body. So many of the sicknesses come from an unhealthy mental concept. And so it is possible that children of God, Holy Spirit-filled, Bible-believing, may find themselves suffering from bouts of bipolarism, mental depression, as well as some other issues that can come up. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but I am going to ask you to at least acknowledge that there are some mental issues that are impeding your progress in God. This may be described as one of the reasons you hear a lot of voices and you think it's God, but it's really not God. It's that third or fourth person residing in your mind. This is not a laughing matter. For many of God's children do suffer from multi-personality disorder, which is now reclassified in the diagnostic book. It's reclassified, but the premise is still the same. You are subject to a lot of voices and other personalities living inside of you that were created by your need at the moment. And so in your childhood, you may have found yourself creating an invisible protector because you were abused. And so you grew up with this invisible protector. And so the church doesn't know how to deal with it. So when your invisible protector begins to talk to you, they tell you it's a devil, but it never leaves. The reason that it never leaves is because you created it. And you're going to have to be the one to fire it when you find out that it's improper. Now, you are threefold. You are spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. Only your soul and your body can be sick. Your spirit can never be sick because your spirit is impervious to sickness. It belongs to God. Your spirit is God's connection to you. Even if you're not saved, your spirit belongs to God. It goes back to him, according to Ecclesiastes, when you die, regardless of your soulish position. Now, the devil fights for your soul, the control of your soul. Even if you're saved, he doesn't have your soul when you get saved. Your soul belongs to God at that point because you're saved. But he fights for control of it because the soul is connected to the mind. And so we have terms like you can feel certain things and you have the symptoms, but the doctor can find nothing wrong. It's categorized as psychosomatic, means a feeling dealing with your soul. So if you've been hurt in your soul, it may manifest out of your body. And so that's the reason why you keep coming for body healing, but you've got a wounded soul. Now, Solomon says, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a wounded spirit, that word is translated spirit in the King James, but it really should be a wounded soul. When you have a wounded soul, you will be perpetually sad. And no one can help you until you decide to bring that offense to the surface. And if you confess your faults one to another, there will be healing, not sins. You don't confess your sins to anybody but God. But you can confess your faults to your brother and sister, and they can help you get the healing. Now, why am I going down this road? Because many times when we hear healing, we immediately think that the Spirit of God will override everything else to get to the sickness. That he will cover up all of the other issues, heal you, and never deal with the cause. Now, Jesus was a master of getting to the cause. He tells the boys, he said, look, you guys go into town. We're going near Samaria. Now, theologically, we have no business in Samaria. Samaria is off limits. He says, but you guys go into town and get some food. Now, the way the King James gives it to us, it looks as though he's sending them on a mission to go shopping. But a careful examination of the text shows us that he's getting them out of the way. Why? You give a person busy work when their presence will keep you from accomplishing God's will. And so he says, y'all go into town and eat. He knew he wasn't going to eat. Because if you remember when they came back and they said, we got some food, he said, I ain't hungry. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me. So if they were like us, they would have said, then why'd you send us in town? Because I knew that I was going to talk to this woman. And you guys would have been offended when I did. And so the Bible says he sat on this well, which was a gathering place. It was in the center of the village, and it was a gathering place. Now, the typology is that whoever sat on that well was like the single man was giving a signal that I'm available. So when the woman walked up to this well and saw Jesus sitting there, in her mind, based on previous relationships, she said, fresh meat. I never saw him before. He looks good. He's about 6'2". He weighs 175 pounds. He looks good, all right? And most importantly, I never saw him before, which means he doesn't know anything about me. I can whip it on him, and he won't know anything about me. I can play him like an Etch-a-Sketch and then turn him over and erase him, and it'll be like I was never in his life. Jesus sits there, and when the woman walks up, he does not say, hey, baby, what's your name? He says, get me something to drink. Think about it. Get me something to drink. What a line. I challenge any of you to go to the club. When the woman comes in that you want, say, hey, babe, how's it going? She says, hi, what's your name? Oh, my name is so-and-so. Can you get me something to drink? She'd be like, you're supposed to buy me something to drink. Now, from that introduction, Jesus now assesses her true need. When he gets down to the part where he says, call your husband, she says, I don't have one. Notice how good he is. He's a master therapist. He says, go call your husband. She said, I don't have one. He said, You've well spoken. You've had five. And the one you have now is not yours. Now, how many of you have had five? Do you understand? It sounds crazy, but do you understand the search is so intense that you keep meeting one and you're never satisfied? So Jesus says, I'm what you're looking for. So he gets to the root of the problem, which was articulated in the conversation when he said, you don't know who you're worshiping. He said, we Jews, we know who we worship. The reason you're looking for salvation, you're looking for joy and fulfillment in a man, is because you don't know God. Now, all he does is say to her, call your husband. She said, I don't have one. He said, that's right. You had five, and the one you have now is not yours. That's six men. Six men's. I need you to think about it. Six, which is the number of man. That means she has turned to humans to meet her need. But then she met the seventh man. And seven is God's number. It only belongs to God. Now watch what she does. All he said was call your husband. You've had five, and the one you have now is not yours. She runs into town and says, come meet a man who has told me everything that I've ever done, and all he said was call your husband. How did he tell her everything? She knew that his assessment revealed her true weakness. She became the first evangelist of the kingdom of God, and she had six husbands. Now listen to this. For some reason, you're sick. Now the Bible will give us clear identification. The cause of sickness is Adam's sin. Adam's sin makes the world fall. A fallen world invites disease. It invites all types of physical maladies. When one reads in the Bible, in Exodus chapter 15, God has already revealed himself as the Elohim in Genesis. He has revealed himself as the great El. Elohim is the title that means self-sufficiency. I don't need anybody else. So the Elohim creates the heavens and the earth. But that is a theological expression which God is conveying to us. I am the Almighty, self-existing, don't need anybody else, God. And when you approach me, you had best be on your best behavior. Because I'm the Elohim. El is God. Ohim, self-existent God. Don't need anybody else. I made everything. I am everything. You didn't make me, I made you. But as time progresses, he goes from that theological expression to an expression that says, I want to be with you. I want to get next to you. I want to be in your life. I want to walk with you. Therefore, I must reveal myself beyond the L's. There's only one L. God, you have El Shaddai, Almighty, self-existing one. Elohim, I am the God that I am. You have these aspects of God, which talks about him singularly in the cocoon. But when he wants to reveal himself as our connector, he changes titles from El to Yahweh, which the King James calls Jehovah. And so 17 different Jehovah titles in the Old Testament, where he reveals the God who handles your specific situation. In Exodus, we get the first Jehovah inclination. After telling Moses in the beginning, I am that I am. Lord, help me. I gotta calm down because I get happy. Now, the only other time you saw I am that I am is in John, when Jesus was in the garden and the soldiers came to arrest him. And they said, we are looking for Jesus of Nazareth. He says, the King James said, I am. But in the Greek, he said, epi-emi, I am that I am. He then connects with God. God sends Jesus to articulate the full will of God. Because the Old Testament makes you scared of God. He's killing people. He's dismembering people. He's threatening to kill people and then following through on the threats. He got so upset in Noah's day, he sent enough rain to flood the whole earth. In the Old Testament, he is constantly upset. He wake up angry. But then God said, that's not really me, so I'm going to reveal myself in the Jehovah titles. And the first one I'm going to show you, it's amazing. The first one I'm going to show you is Jehovah Rophika. We'll shorten it to Rapha. And he says, I'm the Lord that healeth thee. But careful examination of the text says, I'm the Lord that keeps you from getting sick. Why? Because I never meant for you to get sick. Do you understand that the Christian life is qualitatively different than the sinner life? That means we embody the full will of God. Because God made man innocent, and he didn't make him subjected to sickness. Sin came as part of the curse. When Jesus died on the cross, according to Paul's writings to the churches of Galatia, he gets rid of the curse, sickness being among the curse. Just like you believe God to save you, you ought to believe he can heal you. Because Jesus' death, his beating and his death, took care of sickness and sin. You can't walk around saved and sick. If you had faith for salvation, you ought to have faith for healing. So he reminds us in Exodus, if you do what I tell you to do, and it's not just the violation of the Ten Commandments or any of that. No. He's also talking about doing what I tell you to take care of your body. If you work 7 days a week, if you're always on the go, your physical body will give in to exhaustion. Some of you hate to stay home, and you don't take a Sabbath. Now, when you don't take a Sabbath, you're telling God that you're better than he is. Because he rested on the seventh day. And the seventh day is not Sunday. It's Saturday. So when you don't rest your body, you position it to get exhausted and sick. Now watch what the devil has done. Because he wants to kill, steal, and destroy. What's your busiest day of the week outside of working? Why? To keep you busy. So here's what you're going to do. You're going to work on Saturday. You're going to be busy on Saturday. And what are you going to do on Sunday? Flesh and blood did not reveal that to Miles. So here's what the devil does. He cuts into your Sabbath and then steals your worship. All from something as simple as taking a Sabbath to rest my body. Because if God rested, why can't we? Most of us will become sick simply because we overextend. Overextend. Now, watch this. I'm the Lord that healeth thee. I'm the Lord that keeps you from getting sick. Now, every one of you that raised your hand, in about 10, 15 minutes, you're going to be healed. Now, just listen to me. Because, see, here's what happens. I need you to see this. I told you I was only going to do three scriptures tonight, and I didn't lie. Watch this. In Matthew chapter 8, verses 1 through 4, here's what it says. When Jesus was finished with the Sermon on the Mount, he came down from the mountain, and great multitudes followed him. Great multitudes followed him, and all he did was preach a sermon. Because they heard something they had never heard before. They heard the expression of the kingdom of God.
We pray that you are blessed and encouraged by the message you heard today. To order today's message in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. When ordering, refer to the program title, Healing and Deliverance, or the program number 07119E. If you'd like to download today's message or any other recent sermons from Bishop Lambert, visit ericlambertministries.com for the complete digital download. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can now be viewed nationally on the Impact Network on Sunday mornings at 7:30 a.m., Comcast Channel 294. Be sure to visit BethelDeliverance.org to find out when to catch the Climbing Higher TV and radio broadcast in your area. For service times, location, and more information about Bishop Lambert and Bethel Deliverance International Church, go to our website at BethelDeliverance.org. Follow us on social media through Facebook and Instagram, or contact us at 215-885-2585. Thank you for tuning in today. Keep climbing higher in the Word of God.
The Making of a Minister with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. and Pastor Brian Weatherspoon continues Saturday, September 21st at 10 a.m. at Bethel Deliverance International Church. The pastors will continue to explore how to craft your sermon, biblical exegesis, and professionalism in ministry. These informative sessions will equip you to walk in your call to ministry and handle the Word of God with care. If you've been chosen for ministry or desire to work in ministry, you will want to be a part of this next session. It's The Making of a Minister with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. and Pastor Brian Weatherspoon on Saturday, September 21st, 10 a.m. at Bethel Deliverance International Church, located at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue in Wincote, Pennsylvania. Register now by calling 215-885-2585. That's 215-885-2585. For more information, visit BethelDeliverance.org.
The Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. is part of the Media Outreach Ministry of Bethel Deliverance International Church. Our goal is to reach the world with powerful messages of faith, truth, and victory taught from the Word of God. You can take part in this significant mission by becoming a media partner. Your weekly, monthly, or one-time gift goes directly towards reaching the masses with life-changing messages of hope from God's Word. We invite you to visit the BethelDeliverance.org media link for more information about the media partnership. You may also contact the media outreach representative at 215-885-2585 to make a donation. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church. We appreciate your support.